Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from Chapter 2, which is called Contents of the Gita Summarized. So today we're starting the chapter. Sanjay is telling the story to Dhritarashtra in the palace in Hastinapur, and Krishna and Arjuna are standing on the battlefield. And the last thing Arjuna said in chapter 1 was that he's not going to fight. Oh no, he hasn't said that yet. He's put his bow and arrow down and he sat down on the chariot and he's crying. Has he already said, I'm not going to fight? Or is he? I think he's going to say that in the beginning of chapter 2. Let's see. 2:9 he's going to say it. Yeah. Govinda, I shall not fight. So he hasn't said it yet. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. No, sorry, I made you confused. In 2:9, he's going to say, I will not fight. But we haven't got there yet. He's just at the moment just sitting there crying. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. Sanjay Uvacha. Tam tata kripaya vistam. Ashru purna kulekshanam. Vishidantam idam vakyam. Uvacha Madhusudana. Matajis? Sanjay Uvacha. Sanjaya said, Tam, unto Arjuna, tata, thus, kripaya, by compassion,
avistam,
overwhelmed,
ashru,
purna,
akula,
full of tears,
ikshanam,
eyes,
vishidantam,
lamenting,
idam,
these,
vakyam,
words,
uvacha,
said,
madhu sudana,
the killer of madhu. Translation, Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana, Krishna, spoke the following words. Purport. Material compassion, lamentation and tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. The word Madhusudan is significant in this verse. Lord Krishna killed the demon Madhu. And now Arjuna wants Krishna to kill the demon of misunderstanding that had overtaken him in the discharge of his duty. No one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen into the ocean of nescience cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. One who does not know this, and laments for the outward dress is called a Shudra, or one who laments unnecessarily. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and this conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man, and for this purpose, the Bhagavad Gita was sung by him. This chapter instructs us in self-realization by an analytical study of the material body and the spirit soul, as explained by the Supreme Authority, Lord Sri Krishna. This realization is possible when one works without attachment to the fruitive results, and is situated in the conception of the real self. So text one was, Krishna spoke the following words. Right, text two, now we're going to hear what Krishna said. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kashmalam Idam Vishame Samupastitam Anarya Justam Ashvargam Akirti Karamarjana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. Now, long purport, 2.5 pages. Here goes. Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the absolute truth. Absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman, or the impersonal all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma, or the localized aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, this conception of the absolute truth is explained thus. This is a verse that you have to learn when you do Bhakti-vibhav. Vedanti tat-tat bhavidas tat-pam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabjate. The absolute truth is realized in three phases of translation. The absolute truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the absolute truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the absolute truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun's surface, and the sun planet itself. One who studies the sunshine only is the preliminary student. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced, and one who can enter into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied simply by understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature, may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth. The student who has advanced still further can know the sun disk, which is compared to knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realize the personal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, the bhaktas, or the transcendentalists who have realized the Bhagavan feature of the Absolute Truth, are the topmost transcendentalists, although all students who are engaged in the study of the Absolute Truth are engaged in the same subject matter. The sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another. And yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. So later on in chapter 4, Krishna will describe that he went to the sun. He went to the sun planet and he met the people who live there, and he gave the Bhagavad Gita to the Vivaswan, who's in charge of the sun planet. So there are actually people living there. And in one class, Prabhupada describes that they have houses, they have roads and motor cars. It's really funny to think they have motor cars. Of course, they might look a bit different than ours. Purport continued. The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. The Supreme Personality, who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation, is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached, but no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc., entirely. Only Krishna can claim this, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayan, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or above him. He is the primeval Lord, or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. And now Prabhupada quotes the first verse from chapter 5 of Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. Translation. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme, because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. In the Bhagavatam, also, there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is described as the original Personality of Godhead, from whom many, many incarnations and personalities expand. So that's in First Canto, Chapter 3, and then this verse is quoted from there. This is another one you have to learn when you do the Bhakti Vaibhav. Ete cham sha kala pungsha Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Translation. All the lists of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. 1.3.28. Therefore, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the source of both the Supersoul and the impersonal Brahman. In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsman is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expresses his surprise with the word kuta, where from. Such impurities were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as Aryans. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the absolute truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan. And they are captivated by the Jai. Gopinath Galan ki Jai. So, the persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the absolute truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan. And they are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duties by declining to fight. This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans. Such deviation from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity to become famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsmen. Om Ajnana Timranda Shakinanjala Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupa Sakritatam Sahagana Vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sabadutam parichanasitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Nalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karna Sindhu Jinnabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rate Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The first verse was, Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana, Krishna, spoke the following words. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. So this is before the Gita has been spoken. This time Arjuna and Krishna are just friends. He hasn't accepted him as his spiritual master yet. They're just two friends on the battlefield. Krishna is the chariot driver, and Arjuna's supposed to fight this big war that's been building up for about 20 years. at least 20 years that they've had a build-up to this war. They've been knowing it's coming for a long time. They've been trying to hold it off and hold it off. And now it's finally come to it. It's just about to start, and Arjuna backs out. He sits down, starts crying, puts down his bow and arrow, says, you know, and I'm not sure we're doing the right thing here, and he's giving so many excuses why he doesn't want to fight. First point I wanted to make was the word Madhusudan. Krishna is referred to as Madhusudan, so I looked it up on the database. So Madhu means three things. It means honey. That's one translation. It's a kingdom in old India. It was a kingdom called Madhu, and there was also a demon called Madhu. So Krishna didn't kill Madhu in the incarnation as Krishna, but as the incarnation as when he was Hayagriva. So Hayagriva was a horse with wings. And so when Krishna, he appeared from a fire sacrifice, Brahma performed the fire sacrifice, and from this fire sacrifice appeared a winged horse called Hayagriva, and he killed the two demons, Madhu and Kataba, and then he returned the Vedas. From his nostrils, from his breathing, the Vedas came and they came back. He gave them back to Brahma. I remember when Madhu Gopal got his initiation in Amsterdam, he was saying, oh no, Madhu's a demon, my guru was giving me the name of a demon. But Madhu Gopal, when he got his initiation, he was saying, Madhu's the name of a demon. But it also means, you know, like sweet, like honey, so probably it's Gopal, the sweet, the other translation. So in the purport to text one was the analogy of the dress of a drowning man. There's a drama that Parapheda used to put on here in at the summer festival. A man has fallen into the water and he's going, help, help, and there's people trying to rescue him, and then someone dives into the water and comes back with a jacket. He just rescues the jacket. And so this analogy is given by Krishna in text 2.22, if you want to look at it. 2.22. Krishna gives the analogy. Vasamsi jirnani yatavihaya navani grinati naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So it said that the body, the material body is like a coat, and the subtle body is like a shirt. Shirt and coat. That's the analogy that Prabhupada uses. So when the person falls into the water and someone just rescues his jacket, his only that you know, just rescues the body. And then in the play that Parapheda put on here, then someone said, I rescued him, and it was a Sankirtan devotee who had rescued him, the real, the soul, by giving him a book. So that's how you really rescue people, is by rescuing the soul. So later on in this chapter, Krishna is going to give all information about the soul, describing the different characteristics. So in text 2, Krishna is saying, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? In chapter 18, the qualities of a kshatriya are described. Is it 1842 and 43? No, 18... So 1842 is the Brahman, and 1843 is the Kshatriya. So his qualities are, 1843, heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership. These are the natural qualities for the Kshatriyas. So Arjuna is expected to be a hero, powerful, determined and courageous in battle. And what Krishna's going to say to him next, that the, what we're going to hear tomorrow is even more cutting. He's going to... who's giving class tomorrow? We'll tell all about... Krishna Valley, oh. So tomorrow he's going to call him impotent, which is really painful, because when Arjuna was in exile in the forest, he had to actually live for a year as a eunuch. So it's like, you know, really digging. Your friends can say to you things that other people can't say without getting a thump. So at the moment he's calling, he said, how have these impurities come upon you? It's not right that you're like this. He's still talking as a friend. And then they lead not to higher planets. So Kshatriyas who are killed on the battlefields, they go to heaven if they get killed. So if he wins, he gets the kingdom. I mean, if he dies, he goes to heaven. And he gets this fantastic... long life with lots of sense gratification. So in the purport, Prabhupada was comparing the three different aspects of the Supreme Truth with the sun, the sunshine, the sun disk, and the sun planet. If you go actually into the sun planet, you can see that the people are there, that there's a presiding deity called Vivasvan. And then after the analogy, Prabhupada mentions Parashara Muni. The word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parashara Muni. Now there was this sage called Parashara Muni, and he had some connection with Sachivati, that's Grandfather Bhishma's mother. What's Grandfather Bhishma's mother's name? No, Bhishma's mother. Sachivati. Sachivati was brought up by a fisherman. And because she was brought up by a fisherman, and she had this kind of fishy odor. You know, if you live in a house where fish are dealt with, she got this kind of fishy odor. But because she was very young and beautiful, Parashara Muni, he wanted to have some connection with her. And then she got pregnant with Vyasadeva, and he was so pleased with her, he gave her a blessing that you will smell very beautiful. So after the blessing, she smelled like lotuses, you know, like she spread this fragrance for miles. And then, but she was still not married, but she was very fragrant. And then her job was to row the passengers across the river. That was her job. And then one day, King Shantanu was out hunting, and he could smell this very fragrant lotus smell, and he saw this beautiful girl sitting there, and he said, wow, you know, such a nice girl, and he wanted to marry her. And actually, she liked him, and she was from, as you know, living in a very simple mud hut with just leaves for walls and bamboo for walls. But her horoscope said that she was going to marry a king. So her father said, yes, I was expecting you because her horoscope said she's going to marry a king. But she can't marry you because you already have a son. Shantanu already had Bhishma. He was married to Ganga. And then after she left, he was on his own for years and years and pining for her. Then when he got over it, he met this new girl. And then he falls in love with her, and her father said, you can't marry her. He said, but I'm the king. You know, yes, but you already have a son. She can only marry a king if her sons can get the throne later. And then Bhishma, when he finds out that his dad's unhappy because of it, he says to the father, the fisherman, your daughter will, I'll let her sons be the king, that's no problem. Yeah, but what about your children? He said, okay, I won't have any children. I'll stay brahmachari. Brahmachari for life. So for a kshatriya to make a vow like that, that's like really, really heavy vow. So that her son could be the king, he took a vow of celibacy for life. So this was Parashara Muni, his Vyasadeva's father. And because Bhishma took the vow, he got the name Bhishma, which means terrible. Devavrata, that was his original name, Devavrata. Then when he took this big vow, he got the name Bhishma. So Parasura Muni is the father of Vyasadev, and this is all in secret. You know, this was like a secret pregnancy. He grew up in one day, like they could in those days. So it's Parasura Muni who described Bhagavan as having these six qualities. Okay, six qualities. Just say one of them. All knowledge, all wisdom, what? Detached, yes? Fame, renunciation, beauty, fame, knowledge. Wealthy and? One more. Strength. Yeah. And then the next thing that's mentioned in the Prabhupada is the Brahma Samhita. And Brahma is reciting all the... He's describing the spiritual world, he's describing God, he's describing what it's like up there, what God looks like. And then he says his prayers, Govinda Manipurusham prayers. So this is the first verse. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anade Ade Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So it's calling Krishna Govinda, which means the one who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. It's so nice that in right at the very beginning of Gita, even before Krishna started preaching, Prabhupada's proving that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's putting quotes in there from Brahma Samhita, from Bhagavatam. Because when Krishna's teaching, it's really important to know this is not just anyone, it's not just a poet, it's not just a Sanskrit scholar, it's God who's speaking. Before, when I was in Bangladesh, before I gave a class, I had to know what my audience could understand. So I was saying, who is speaking this and how many gods are there? Some people think there are many gods. Some people say, were telling me that I was God. No, you're God, we're all God. So I was saying, how many gods are there? And when they would say one God and that Krishna was God, I was saying, so what's in this book? Is it true? Is he going to say anything that's not true? And then once I'd agreed with the audience that what is in this book is true, and then I could preach. And then I would accept whatever Krishna is saying. So Prabhupada's establishing at the beginning that Krishna is God. Who wants to, oh, miss you now, I'm putting my paper. Who wants to make a contribution? Yes? It's a... Yeah.
Well, in one sense it's close, but the thing is, the way I understand it, it's not that we see them, but they are like these people. It's a little difficult to understand, but I think it's where I said it's on another level. So it's not that you go with the plane there, or the rocket, and then you can see the car, and it's not really like that.
We can't even see air and ether and mind and intelligence and false ego, and they're all material. We can't see intelligence. Devavrata. Terrible, Bhishma means terrible. No, I mean his name from birth was Devavrata. Before he took the vow. Before, when he was born, yeah.
And that's because his mother took the vow. Because Devavrata was his father, and
What his mother did was she had to take birth on earth, and she promised the 8 Vasus that she would release them from their curse. So when they were born, so she said, okay, I'll give birth to the Vasus. And so when they were born, she drowned them. So as the child was born, she went to the river and she gave him back to the river. And then on the 8th one, the father said, no, stop, don't do it. Give the kid to me. So she said, okay, this one has to stay on earth for a long time. And so that was Bhishma. Yes? Yes. Yes. Yes, he had many excuses. But Krishna is going to answer them later. So this means if you go back to 136, chapter 1, text 36, you'll see in the purport there are 6 kinds of aggressors. And if this, have you found it? Text 36? According to Vedic injunctions, there are 6 kinds of aggressors. 1, a poison giver. 2, one who sets fire to the house. 3, one who attacks with deadly weapons. 4, one who plunders riches. 5, one who occupies another's land. And 6, one who kidnaps a wife. Now, such aggressors are at once to be killed, and no sin is incurred by killing such aggressors. Now what the Kurus did was they did all 6 of these things. They gave poison to Bhima when he was a child. They set the house on fire, the house where the Pandavas and their mother were staying at Varnavat. They attacked with deadly weapons. They plundered their riches. They took their kingdom, Indraprast. Well, first of all, the Pandavas were supposed to have the whole kingdom, and they gave them half. They kept Hastinapur, which was the rich half, and they gave them the Kandava forest, which was like desert and uninhabitable. And then they kidnapped their wife, Jayadratha. When they were living in the forest, Jayadratha kidnapped her, and Arjuna went and got her back. So they did all these 6 things. They already did them. You can't say, just because he's my brother, I'm not going to punish him. Or just because he's my cousin, or just because he's my... They did all... They set the house on fire. So... So, although Arjuna is compassionate, when you're in a war, he's fighting on the side of truth. He's fighting on the side of dharma. So just because his relatives are fighting on the wrong side doesn't mean that they should be spared. Bhishma shouldn't have been on that side. He should have been on the other side.
Is that according to Arthashastra that one can cure this?
According to Dharma Shastra, you can't kill your family.
Yes, therefore. Mm.
So like his teacher is on the wrong side, but then he shouldn't have been on that side. He should have been on the side of truth. According to Krishna. They all had their reasons for being on the wrong side. They all had their reasons. But then this means that taking an oath or taking money or some other excuse, that they're saying that this is higher than being on the side of truth.
You can break an oath in some cases.
Krishna broke his oath. The result will be good. Kshatriya is not supposed to refuse battle or a gamble.
Yeah,
this one?
Yeah. The thing that was explained is that Kshatriya should not refuse the battle. So Arjuna was afraid that maybe they're just fighting for the sake of not refusing it. And he was thinking, well, I should also not refuse, but because the family gets killed, if the result is bad, and therefore I should break my heart.
But Prabhupada also explains, Arjuna, however, could see the evil consequences and could not accept the challenge. Obligation is actually binding when the effect is good, but when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you for your attention and your contributions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Krishnamurti.